it's a big, delicious looking mimosa.
I had to bust it out because Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty prepared to, like, learn something from the school of Katie.
You're gonna learn today! I don't think you're ready.
I'm not ready. God. But I was into it, and, like, to the point that I also watched the second one.
I'm proud of you. I'm so proud.
And I kind of want to watch the third one.
You should watch the third one, because I'm, amazing. Like,
on a roll.
I love it.
I'm on a ring roll.
I'm going to send you a gold star for doing such a good job.
But, like, not, like, the Jack Black kind.
No. No. No.
Sisters. Sisters who've seen it. We are the sisters, sisters who've seen it. Sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop, sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop, sisters, 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 sisters. Sisters who've seen it.
You shall not pass!
Welcome. What am I saying? Hello.
Honestly, we need to just explain that when we do our hellos, we've already been talking. So then it's this, like, weird, let's, like, just say hi out of nowhere. And I just like to scream things.
You know, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome. Welcome.
If you haven't left since 5 seconds ago, thanks for coming back.
We're happy you're back. We've got a really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
This week. This is one of Katie's favorites. Oh, God, sweating.
She literally popped champagne for this.
And then it exploded everywhere, and then one of the dogs drank some of it. So I don't know what's going to happen to them.
And I would tell her not to admit that because she's at mom and dad's, but they don't listen to this podcast, so we don't need to worry about
that's
it.
That's true. They'll never know. So we're in the clear. All right, listeners. So we are the Sisters Who've Seen It, the podcast where two sisters who are not movie critics look back on some of our favorites throughout the years through a psychological, ethical, and familial lens. I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And what about Second Breakfast?
That was the one and only time I was like, this defines Katie and I.
Yeah.
When for your 21st birthday, we went to Mardi Gras and all we did was eat. And you literally were like, Bridget, this is our second breakfast 2 days in a row. And I was like, but the food is so good.
Just never-ending beignets and beignets. I don't even know. Oh, God.
So yes. All your pictures were like, second breakfast. And I was like, oh, my God. We are hobbits. This is us.
We are.
We're totally hobbits.
Everyone should aspire to be a hobbit because they have good food and they like to party. So,
dude, I didn't realize they, like, smoked a lot of weed, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they get rowdy.
They get rowdy.
Yeah. And what's our movie this week, Bridge?
Oh, I gotta get the official title.
Yeah, there's a lot of words in there. Don't mess up.
Correct. Lord of the Rings, :
yep.
The Fellowship of the Ring.
Good job.
Parentheses, extended edition, parentheses.
Okay. You watched the extended edition? Did you?
Oh my God, no. I don't even.
I was like, wow, that was a commitment.
No. Like, it is long though, but it's really beautiful. So yeah. You kind of get lost in, you know who I thought of with this movie?
Willow.
It is Willow. We have to talk about that.
Well, Willow is Lord of the Rings. Careful.
Willow came out, well, I guess the book came out before Willow.
Yes.
But Jim Henson's ability to put in, like, real details and minimal technology CGI.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that Peter Jackson did so much of that. And I kept saying to Moe's, I was like, are those mountains like mountains? Or, like, is that, like, CGI? Or is that a mountain? And he was just like, I think that's a mountain. I was like, wow.
I'm pretty sure this was all filmed in New Zealand. Zealand.
Yes.
And then if you go to New Zealand, you can like go on tours of like filming locations. And I'm like, why aren't I there right now?
What? Wait, can we? There is Hobbit Town.
I know. Hobbiton. I want to go.
Wait, I have a fun fact about that.
Oh my God, tell me right now.
Okay, I was really fascinated on how they made the hobbits look smaller. You know, like Frodo versus Gandalf in the same scene. How did they do that? That Hobbit house, mm-hmm. they made an exact replica of it. But in the one house, it's really, really small.
Okay.
So that it shows the miniature element of it. And then in another house, it's really, really big. Yeah. And they put Gandalf in the small house and Frodo and all them in the big house. But every single detail had to be like exactly the same. And then they like merged the two together.
Whoa! I didn't
know
that.
Isn't that cool?
I thought it was just all like forced perspective, but I didn't know there was like different sets.
They probably did some of that, but there's two of those houses.
Wow, that's cool.
What? Okay, so I've been thinking about this synopsis and I thought we may not have enough time for Katie to do this.
It would be long. So do you want to do it? Because then it'll maybe be normal.
If I do it, you're going to be mad because I'm not going to like use the right names and I'm going to like skip some big major parts. And
I'll just keep sipping nonstop. I'll waterfall nonstop while you do your synopsis so that I don't interrupt you.
You're gonna waterfall your champagne while I do a synopsis?
I
will cut it short then. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a story about Willow. I mean, Frodo.
Okay. That's it. I'm gonna start sipping.
Okay, so this is a story in Middle Earth with lots of different creatures. You have elves, you have hobbits, you have men, you have wizards, you have a lot of things I've forgotten about. And there is this ring, the one ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them. Sorry.
The one. I'm expecting this. So this ring was created by like a super duper evil guy, which I get really confused because there's like Solomon and Salah something and Mordor and a Mordo and Salah Suda. All right,
Solomon
whatever.
Was like someone from the Bible, but very close. It's Sauron is the eyeball. Saruman okay. is the evil wizard.
Okay, so like, couldn't they have like given them slightly different names? I'm just gonna say like this. So weird. Okay.
No.
What's the evil one?
Sauron.
So Sauron put like magical powers into this ring to be like the most evil ring of all time and rule them all. And anyone that gets it is going to be evil, but it's also very powerful. So all these people want it. Well, back in history, there was one time to get rid of the ring and people thought that someone did. And it was a man and men are flawed.
He's a little Frodo.
Yeah. He's, as Katie said, he's a little Frodo. So the ring then exists and somehow gets passed along to all these different people over hundreds of years. And would you know it, that Bilbo Baggins in the Shire, which is where the hobbits live,
mm-hmm.
has had it for 50 years?
50, 60, yeah.
So at this point, he's decided that he's gotten old enough and the ring kind of like keeps him alive and gives him all these like magical powers to live longer. He's decided he's ready to like move on with his life and get rid of all his stuff, and the ring is a part of it. And so he gives it to his, here's what I didn't understand, son? Nephew?
Nephew. Yeah.
Okay. Gives it to his nephew, Frodo, and no one really realizes, like, the power of this ring, and their friend, Gandalf, the wizard.
He's the best.
Is like, are you idiot hobbits insane? This is the one thing that could literally ruin all of existence. How the heck is it in the Shire? You need to go get rid of it. And they're like, cool, I'll just, like, you know, throw it in a river or, like, throw it out. And he's like, haha, JK, you have to go to the scariest place in the farthest away land and dump it in the fire that it was made.
Well, okay.
Did I get there?
Just keep going.
Okay. So on this quest, instead of just Val Kilmer, they add like 8 other crazy people, like a dwarf and an elf and all these other crazy stuff. And then that's the fellowship to protect Frodo, to help him get there. And pretty much this is one of 3 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, I would say they take him all the way to the point that he's like really in the thick of the journey, but it kind of ends that like he's still going and there's like some ups and downs. To me, that would be the end of this synopsis. So I left out a lot.
Okay.
How you doing with it? Katie has officially stopped her waterfall.
Yeah. Well, listen, I would give it like a B plus.
Take that. That's not bad.
Yeah. Well, and you kind of, I guess, summarize, which like is the point of a synopsis. It's hard for me to accept this, but
Katie.
Like, there's a little more details in terms of like when Frodo
actually?
Is basically actually.
So the book actually.
Let me get my poster out to explain. But when Frodo is like hooked up with the ring, first of all, Gandalf doesn't know it's evil. Number one, he's just like, this is weird. This ring is giving me like weird flashbacks of like demon things, and I should go to a library and figure that out. So he does that. And then he figures out, oh snap, it's the evil ring. So then he goes and he's like, Frodo, you gotta take this somewhere. But he doesn't know where, like what to do with it yet. He's basically like, let's just get it out of the Shire because like we're being hunted now and they know like where to come. So like they don't know what the plan is for the first half of the movie, basically. They're kind of like, we just like, it's evil, maybe we'll just go like give it to someone. So then their plan is like, let's go to the elf place and do that. But then they get to Rivendell and the elf guy's like,
hey, Frodo,
no, I don't want this
Frodo
in here. No. So then they have a little like, you know, political powwow that lasted for 5 minutes, and wow, I imagine what the world we live in would be like if all political meetings were solved in 5 minutes, because all y'all need are some hobbits and then it's gonna get okay.
Well, basically Frodo was like the selfless slash idiot that was like, I'll do it, and they were all like, really? What if the intern's gonna do it?
I didn't think he was an idiot. I love that part.
It's sweet, but I don't know if he knew what he was in for. And they all did.
I think he knew.
Really? I thought he was a little more naive.
I mean, maybe. But there's just a lot of stuff. And then you get to like find out just a lot about the world, because the world is like very, there's a lot of like history, and there's this kind of like Lion King subplot, as I like to explain, where Aragorn equals Simba. Because he's supposed to be the king, but he's like, I'm sad and I'm gonna be alone in the woods. And then you're like, you're the flipping king. What are you doing? So there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it is so amazing. And I think I saw this movie before I read the books. So I was probably like 10. And I think I saw it with Jimmy in like the basement of the house or something.
Whoa.
And I remember being so angry at the ending, because I was like, that's not an ending. That's just like a, just like a pause. Like, what do you mean it's over? Where's the next one? But I was like mad about it, and I was like, this is stupid. And then I like read the book and I was like, this is awesome. And then like, ooh, I was in it. I was in it to win it.
So the book, which is incredible, because the book came out in like the 60s or something, 50s, 60s.
Something like that, yeah.
Incredible that it like stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you were 10 when you read it?
Fifth grade, I read it.
Wow. Wait, I bet you do not know this fun fact.
What?
So this came out in 1954, and the Beatles, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The Beatles wanted to make the Lord of the Rings movie.
What?
And like, they wanted to be like the characters, like Frodo and like Sam and whatever. And they were going to have Stanley Kubrick direct it.
Oh my God.
But Stanley Kubrick didn't, because he was just doing Space Odyssey. And then Tolkien, he then was like, okay, forget, we're not doing a movie. Like, it's off the table. And then all of a sudden, like, fast forward 40 years.
There was a cartoon version of the movie, but it was like they tried to squish in like the first movie and the second movie into one movie as a cartoon. It was like
too much.
Yeah, I feel like it's got such a good pace all throughout, and it's just like every part of this is so good. The sound, the acting, the casting, the costumes, New Zealand, all
okay,
of it.
I would argue that the scale of this movie is out of control, and then the like Jim Henson effect, where there's like a little more real stuff, like actually made, I think sets it apart. The actors, I think, helped a lot. because I think you could have like played those characters differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I even read, this is so cool to me, the orcs.
Yeah.
When they're in like massive scale,
mm-hmm.
they used like an artificial intelligence technology
that
created different orc species so that when like you have, like say you have a huge computer generated of like thousands of them.
Yeah.
If there's like 10 different species in that, they actually interact differently with different species in the AI. So it was like even authentic in the technology.
Whoa.
Like that they went into the art of making orc species.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think the technology was called Mission. And I was like, what is happening? Once again, we can't get like a chatbot to work on a website, people.
I'm what? Like, I'm afraid is that the T-1000 is helping to make orcs.
Oh,
that's so scary.
Yeah. So in our pandemic world, I know that movie theaters are getting hit hard.
Yeah.
This is a movie to watch in a theater because on my like dinky little Roku, like literally Mose and I were like, this would be way better at a theater.
Yeah.
Like the sound, the picture, it was designed to be all encompassing, and watching it on like your tiny phone or your tiny TV, it just doesn't. Like, it's good, but this would be something I'd go to the theater and watch.
Have you ever heard of those things where they'll play a movie, but then you have a live orchestra doing the music?
We went to one.
I went to one, too. Wait, which one did you go to?
I went to It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, that's a good
one. It was so good. Which one did you see?
I went to Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
That defines us. Hard.
It was amazing. And I thought about this when I was watching this movie. I was like, wow, I'd love to go to one of those for like one of these movies because it would be so good.
Do you know how tired the musicians would be? They'd be like, like strings would be breaking. They'd be like, we're so tired. Okay, Kate, how do we even get into this? We cannot have a 3-hour podcast. No one's listening that long, although I love you, but like 3 hours is crazy. Do we go character by character? Do we go story arc? How do we do this? Because I think if we go like scene by scene, this will be 3 hours.
I want to go scene by scene.
All right. Let's do it.
We can go quick. Okay.
In the beginning, the whole voiceover.
Yes.
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
If you gave me a multiple choice list of female actors and I had never seen this movie, I would never in my life think Kate Blanchett was in this movie.
She's a very serious, stoic character where she's like, let me tell you all about these motherfucking rings. We all got these rings. I got a ring. He got a ring. They got a ring.
You know how Beyonce's like, put a ring on it? You don't want to put this ring on.
You don't want to put the ring on it. And then she's like, but JK, LOL, none of our rings were that important because the bad guy deceived us / why didn't we know he was bad? There is a whole book. I haven't read it, but there is a whole book that is like a prequel to Lord of the Rings that talks about like Sauron, the evil guy. It's like all about the evil guy and like...
Okay, that would be a cool movie that comes out now.
Mm-hmm.
But she basically goes into, because all the other kings then are enslaved to find the ring.
Only the men. The dwarves and the elves, I guess, were like, we good. Like, we're not corrupted. But the men are like, we're weak because we're men.
Oh my God.
We're so flawed. And everyone's like, we know. You're still that way.
So first of all, they were like scary people in hoods that you couldn't see their faces. So
they're called ring wraiths.
Ring wraiths. Say that 5 times.
Ring wraiths. I can't.
Yellow leather. So here's what I didn't understand about their characters is it was always like, oh, who are those people? They're like, are they ghosts? No, they're not dead. Oh, well, what are they? Are they alive? They're not alive. Well, how do you kill them? Well, you can't kill them. I was like, what? Half of the movie is them explaining what these things are, and I just... I'm like, what? Like, they're scary, but also they really sucked at their job.
They were so bad at their job.
Like, I was like, wait, you have one job that would like release you from this? And like, you really can't do this? Like, it's been around for hundreds of years. Like, that sucks for you.
That one guy was literally above all four hobbits. He was like inches away and he got distracted by potatoes. Potatoes were thrown. He got distracted. Like,
it's
yeah.
It's so hard for me not to say potato in a jacket. Ferngully. Sorry, Ferngully. Go back to that.
I love it. Oh my God. Yeah, they were not great. And then you get the whole backstory about Gollum. It's very brief. And basically, he used to be a hobbit, found the ring. Because he found the ring, he lived for like 500 years or some nonsense and got soups corrupted and was like literally a creepy little skeleton thing. And then the ring was like, you know what, Gollum? You smell. I gotta go. And then it leaves Gollum, and then that's how Bilbo gets it. That's how we end up where we're at today.
I mean, do you hear yourself? That's the stupidest freaking story ever.
But they make it sound so cool!
But Bilbo is, to me, kind of weird, because is his role to show hobbits can hang on to this and not get too kooky?
No, Gollum used to be a hobbit, but Gollum had it for 500 years. Bilbo only had it for like 50 years.
Well, you'd think Bilbo would be like a little worse looking, but he looks pretty good.
Yeah, because I think it like keeps you, they said if you have the ring, it like keeps you alive.
Ugh.
But then like once Bilbo like got rid of it, then he's like, I'm old! And Frodo's like, wow, Bilbo, you have gray hair. So old. Like, what's going on?
Frodo was so, like, he was like a lapdog. He was like, hi, uncle. Uncle, what are you doing? Uncle, you want to hang out? You want to go to, like, I was like, where are Frodo's parents? Is he just like an orphan? Like, what's the story?
He might be an orphan. I think he might be. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Very Disney. Like, I'm shocked. Like, he doesn't have a dad and no mom or something.
He doesn't sing a sad song about not having a parent. I like Elijah Wood in this movie. He, I think, nails it. But I also have this feeling that they, like, cast him because he has these really bright blue eyes. And, like, there's just so many shots of, like, him, like, close up, like, with a face. And you're like, we get it. Blue eyes are beautiful. We know. We have them.
So, do you know who also auditioned for this role, who I thought would be great, is Jake Gyllenhaal.
Whoa, that would have been so weird. But like an alternate reality.
Okay, right? But yeah. If you look it up, Jake Gyllenhaal didn't know that he should have like a British accent. So he like, when he did his audition, apparently it was so bad that they all were like, hey, do you know like you're supposed to have like an English accent? And he was like, oh yeah. And then he like tried to fix it. And like everybody was like, that was like the worst audition of all time.
No.
But I will tell you that, like, I could see Jake Gyllenhaal, like, killing that, too. And your theory on the big blue eyes that have that, like, glassy look to them.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Well, Frodo had blue eyes, Gandalf had blue eyes, Aragorn had blue eyes, and I don't remember if Legolas did, but, like, maybe.
Well, I read that different elf species have different eye colors.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you did it.
Bridget, you knew something I didn't.
Well, get on board,
good
fan.
Good job.
Well, that's it. I'm done, folks. See you later.
Okay. All right. So basically, we find out the whole backstory, and then we get kind of cut to, okay, now we're in the Shire, which is where all the hobbits live, and we get to meet the best character of the entire series, Gandalf the Grey. Clap it up for Gandalf. Clap it up.
What? Okay, you like Gandalf because obviously he's like a super duper hero, but why are you like so obsessed with him? Just because he's like hero
because
and awesome?
None of this would be possible without him. He literally is the one that like made this all happen.
Like connects it all together.
Yeah. Like, okay, we didn't even know this was an evil ring, and Gandalf was like, I guess I'll go to the library with my library card and, like, figure it out, because nobody else is. Jeez.
I did have questions, like, wait, why doesn't Gandalf just, like, destroy this now, and, like,
because you can't
then
destroy it.
I literally wrote, Gandalf goes to the library?
He does. So, boys and girls, that's why you should support your local libraries. Because what if it has the solution to destroying an evil magical ring that's gonna burn up the world?
But I think it's, like, funny that every movie does the same library scene where it's like they're all alone and then they have all these books in front of them. And I'm like, that's not how my library works. My library is like, you can't sit here. Get out. Like, you owe us this money. Get out of here.
Every time I go to the library, they're like, you owe money. I was like, how does this keep happening? I'm so confused.
Okay, so that's why you love him, because he really, like, brings it all together. I also felt so bad for him because he goes and sees his boss, Saruman.
Three syllables.
Goes to his boss and he's like, yo, dude. And then he's like, whoa, boss, you got, like, super evil. What happened? And that was, like, a very quick interaction where it was like, hey, let me go, like, consult with, like, my boss. Person, leader, whatever, and now he's, like, utterly evil. Like, how long did he not see him? I'm so confused.
I don't know, Bridge, because that library excursion might have taken him, like, a month. I don't know. It seemed like it was far away.
300 years later, he gets through the library books.
So that's Saruman is the wizard who, like, used to be good, and then he gets corrupted because they didn't really explain this very well in the movie, but, like, there's that, like, stone thing where he's like,
yes.
Let's use this seeing stone. And Gandalf's like, no. And then Gandalf is like, oh,
Frodo!
Evil eyeball is communicating via this little stone thing and it corrupted my friend. And then that's what happened. And then they have a wizard fight. Burr, burr,
burr, burr. But hold up. Let's go back.
Oh, yeah, because we missed the fun party.
Were you going to go back and say that the only reason that the one and only Mikey from Goonies, Sean Astin, is in this entire series is because he's a creepy peeping Tom and he, like, heard the story?
That's
the only reason he's a part of it is he heard it and then they're like, oh, I guess you'll come along. And he's like, oh, okay. Hi, Mr. Frodo.
The best part of that scene too is right before that, you literally see them, like, drunk leaving the bar. So you're like, okay, so y'all are drunk and now we're gonna go on this magical quest right now. Also, Sam, did you get drunk and, like, fall in a bush? I don't understand. Cause, like, we've all been there, but, like,
if they were going to, like, a taco truck or, like, a pizza joint, like, I would follow it. But what is he going to his house for? Unless his house has food and he wants to have some drunk munchies.
I don't know what was happening, but he was there. And, you know, again, Gandalf is like, you're going to come along.
Frodo!
He's like, oh, fine. And he's like, listen, since I was a kid and then in the movie Rudy, I make the most epic inspirational speeches. So, like, you have to have me along because, like, Frodo's going to lose hope. And that's what I've been doing since I was a child actor. And everyone's like, cool, cool, cool. Yep. I want to fast forward to, as you screamed, wizard fight!
Wizard fight!
because I was like, so he's super duper evil that he could basically, like, take over Middle Earth, create all these armies, but he can't beat up Gandalf. But he's Gandalf's boss.
No, the wizard can't take over Middle Earth. He's Saruman, not Sauron.
I know, but, like, he's doing all the work for him and he's like, right? He's the puppet. I guess. I'm like, he's really making stuff happen. I mean, he's a pretty loyal soldier, but
cut down a lot of trees.
Yeah, but, like, Gandalf and can beat him? I just thought it was like, oh.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. Okay. All I know is Gandalf gets put on a roof, and this is a great example why we should try our best to be nice to bugs, because who knows when they will help us out and go tell a magical giant eagle to save us from a rooftop. I'm just saying.
These are things you gotta think about, right? I read in, like, someone's critique of this movie. They're like, hold up.
It's about the eagles and the flying?
Yeah. They're like, wait, Gandalf's got some Frodo evils and little dinky Frodo and Sam have got to walk miles and miles up mountains. Why can't we just use an eagle? Is there something in the book about that?
Yes, because in the book, the eagles politically don't want to be involved. So they're like, leave us the
Frodo. Oh, they're annoying.
Yeah, so that was a whole thing.
Yeah, and then they start their quest. So now they're cooking, except for the Willow brownies.
What? Who's the brownies?
Mary and
You mean, like, personality wise they're the brownies? Because Agreed. They were just like those two. Yes. Pippin would be the Mousehead guy. And Merry would be the other guy who's like, no, like, you're drunk.
You're a ding dong. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are their names? Merry and Pippin.
Merry and Pippin. So I gotta say, though, they're very much presented as like comic relief. And I think most of this movie they are. But like, I love how they're in here. They just add some little... Yeah.
Spice. They add a little spice.
They add a little spice. Yeah. Yeah. And they're also like, I don't know, like when there's a fight, they're like, we're in the fight too. You know what I mean? Like none of them are like, no, leave me alone. Like they're all like, whatever. We're just going to like be included. Here we go.
I mean, they very much like needed like a cause and they jumped on Frodo and Sam's journey and were like, well, now we're part of the fellowship. We're not invited to the meetings, but like we're still supporting it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. And they bring up second breakfast.
Second breakfast. What about 11 C's? Luncheon. Afternoon tea. Dinner. Supper.
But they also needed those characters because nobody knew, like, okay, Frodo, you can't say your name, Baggins. Word on the street because of Bilbo. Things aren't going well. And these guys that are really bad at their job are looking for the ring. And then you needed those two ding-dongs to say, oh, Frodo is over here. And then we see the hottest man in the world, which is Viggo Mortensen. Was made for this movie.
Oh, I used to have a poster of his face from Lord of the Rings, holding like a sword, like on my closet door. So I'd like lay down in bed and be like, "Good night." See in my dreams.
Wait, so you're telling
as, like,
me
it's like a 10, 11 year old?
You're telling me equivalent to "Can't Buy Me Love." Poster on the back of the door, you and Viggo.
It was not a cardboard cutout of him. It was just a poster, which is more normal, Bridget.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's so hot.
First of all, he didn't know much about the movie and like the script, and he was kind of brought on late because there was actually other actors that were supposed to do it besides him, and for whatever reason, bowed out. And his son was like, "Dad, you like really need to do this."
Aww. I love that.
And convinced him, which, by the way, I'd be like, you totally need to, like, give your son a high five because that, like, set you up.
Yeah.
But he was so into it. He was one of the only ones to use, like, a real sword.
And I think also, like, the horseback riding, I think he always did that.
He was very authentic and, like, he speaks three languages and he, like, wanted more elfish or elvish lines. And he just was really... And then I think I read, like, one scene he chipped a tooth and he was so crazy into it. He was like, super glow it back on so I can keep fighting. And they were like, Viggo, take it easy. So Kate, talk about some steamy commitment.
He is so hot. Good
choice.
He
was perfect for this role. I mean, yeah. He was so good. And like, honestly, like he's one of those people that you're just excited to see what he would do. And your description of like Simba, I'm like, okay.
He
like,
is 1000% Simba. 1000%. Because he's like, who is this weird person sitting in the bar like creeping on us? Sam's like, this guy keeps staring at us. And then he's like smoking in the dark corner. And he just like saves the day. Like, thank God he was there, because Gandalf wasn't there and those hobbits would have been shanked in their sleep. So thank you, Aragorn. Thank you.
But he just gets right into it. Like, he's like, I know exactly what's happening. I don't need to go to the library. Like, no, I know what's happening.
Yeah, he's like, I don't need it. I'm good. I did my studying already.
He definitely was like, okay, listen, hobbits, get it together. And that was when they were going there to meet Gandalf, but Gandalf got like, you know, in a wizard fight, as you said, so he didn't show up, which, by the way, Gandalf tends to do that a little bit, tends to all of a sudden just not show up, or all of a sudden he fights some like big fiery bull thing and I don't even know, and you're just like, Gandalf,
don't you speak bad about Gandalf in that scene.
I mean,
Bridget,
he tends to come in, say a bunch of stuff, he helps a lot, and then he like pieces out for half the movie.
Yeah, because he's Frodo important, okay? He is VIP. Leave him alone. All right, well, thankfully Aragorn is there, because he basically is like, yo, hobbits, I just met you. This is crazy, but we're going to go on an adventure into the woods. And so then they are in the woods. And then, you know, again, Merry Pippin dipping, and Sam was kind of involved with this. They get to one spot and they're like, hey, we got a great idea. Let's make bacon at 3 in the morning. Also, I don't think we're high. I think we're just doing this because we're hobbits and we're hungry all the time.
We don't realize a fire will attract things.
Yeah, and then lo and behold, all the ringwraiths are like, we found you in 1 second. Here we come.
I swear, if you took the T-1000 and you gave like the GPS skills of the ringwraiths, but then once they find them, you gave him the T-1000 skills to actually kill Frodo and get the ring, that would be the most epic thing of all time, because the T-1000 needed their GPS because they could always find him pretty well, but then they just sucked at their job.
They were not good. And even when they're like, all right, you got 4 hobbits on a rooftop, they're literally like 3 feet tall or something. I feel like we can go get it. And they're just like taking their time. Then Frodo is like, oh, I'm gonna put on the ring again, even though like every time I did it, it was scary, but like whatever, I'm gonna do it. And then he gets, you know, shanked in the shoulder. Oof. So you deserved it, Frodo. Don't make stupid choices. But then Aragorn comes in and saves the day because he's the best. He literally fights off all the ringwraiths, and he throws a torch in one of their heads. And it's awesome.
Yeah. It was cool seeing the, like, ghost view, like, the Beetlejuice view of them.
I like how they did that, because the whole point of, like, if you were to ever use the ring like that. Because, like, if you hear that idea, you're like, that's cool. I could go invisible whenever I want. Like, I'm going to do that all the time. But then, like, you go invisible and you're like, oh, everything is, like, scary and demonic. Never mind. Like, I don't like it.
No, thanks.
So Frodo got stabbed. So now he's like dying.
But that's when Vigo's like, I got an elf girlfriend and they're really mystical, and we're gonna go, this is the hospital in Middle Earth. We take you to the elves.
Basically.
And they'll go fix you.
Yeah. So she is super cool and she's like, listen, boyfriend, I'm better at you at horseback riding because I'm a mofo elf. And he's like, and he's such a cool boyfriend. He's like, you're right. Do it, girl. And I'm like, yes.
I thought that was so awesome, because then when she was like on the horse, I was like, dang.
Yeah,
first of all, that was a really, really good scene. And I read that apparently she got stabbed in that scene, like in real life, as like a whoopsie doopsie in the middle of filming.
Who stabbed her?
I think she stabbed herself as part of like all the riding and like the jumping and kicking. And I'm like,
holy
damn.
Oh.
But that was a really cool scene, and all like the horse river.
Did you see the formation that the ringwraiths were running in as they were chasing her?
Was it the Mighty Ducks V?
It was like the Mighty Ducks Flying V.
Okay, that's really weird you bring that up, because one of my lines, like right after, or I don't know if it's actually that scene, but when Frodo decides that he will take the ring, I go, Frodo stands up Mighty Duck style and says he'll take it. Do you know that scene in Mighty Ducks where he's like, blah, 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 for Minnesota, Minneapolis,
my
or whatever.
My name is Bombay, yeah.
Oh my god, he's like, Frodo Baggins.
You've referenced that exact Mighty Ducks scene from another episode we've done.
God, that really had an effect on me. But
we all know the second one's the best one, though, so anyway. It's
the best, hands down, because of the Bash Brothers, but.
Yes.
So. Yeah. Basically, he gets healed, and then Bilbo's like, listen, sorry I gave you this ring and basically ruined your life. I'm not that great of an uncle, but here's, like, some armor. Love you.
And a sword. So.
And a sword, and the sword lets you know when orcs are coming, but you're so tiny that you really never, like, know it early enough to hide. You always end up seeing them. So it's more of, like, an anxiety sword.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I suppose. Well, that's what the armor is for, because when your anxiety kicks in, then you remember you have armor, so you're
going
to be okay.
Which saved him in the one, that was a cool scene.
Yeah.
Saved him.
I like how you got to see, like, Bilbo again, because it just showed, like, oh, he's, like, actually aging, and, like, he's happier, and, like, you can kind of see, like, almost the effect of, like, what the ring can do to someone that you didn't really get to see otherwise, and, yeah. But then, we have the council meeting, and I love this scene so much for many reasons.
Where did the dwarf come from? He just appears.
He came from a mine.
But, like, he just shows up.
Yeah.
And he's like, rawr! I'm a dwarf and I'm a character now. And you're like, okay.
Well, because they got a bunch of different elves. Ugh. And then Boromir came from Gondor, yeah, which is the city that technically Aragorn is like an heir to the throne. But Boromir doesn't like that because his dad's in charge. So like, fuck off. So that's a whole subplot.
So that character's name is Sean Bean.
It is.
I read that he has a fear of heights, oh, so bad that when they would do any shooting on like mountain scenes, which they literally took them all up in helicopters, he would hike 2 hours in his outfit up to scene every day. Can you imagine how smelly he was the entire scene?
Wait, but you're still high up if you're on the mountain. So, like, what's different?
But, like, so was it maybe a fear of flying in a helicopter?
That's crazy.
Fear of flying. That's what it is.
Oh, it's flying. Oh, okay.
Fear of flying. Not...
That makes more sense.
Yeah, that... Sorry, I ruined that. <It's okay. laughs> But anyway, like, whoa, mama, wow, right?
Yeah, and I do like his character because you did need someone who, like, was a good guy, but also, like, was able to show the corruption again.
Yes.
Because you weren't seeing it from Frodo, so we needed, like, someone to kind of build the tension at the end. And then he's a good redemption at the end, I think, because he's, like, the one that saves Merry and Pippin.
Yes.
He blows his little horn, the Horn of Gondor. He's like, where the Frodo are you at? I'm trying to save these motherfucking hobbits.
But, like, your point, like, Viggo Mortensen was never gonna turn.
He wasn't gonna. Legolas was not gonna. And, like, Gimli, I guess, like, could have, but he, again, was kind of, like, comic reliefy, so.
Let's go back to Orlando Bloom.
Oh.
He got this job 2 days after graduating from acting school.
What?
Can you imagine?
That's wild.
People are like, hey, what are you doing this summer? It's like, oh, I'm in my local production of Annie. And he's like, I'm in this film. It's called Lord of the Rings. I don't know. It's going to take 4 years. We'll see what happens.
I would love to see Orlando Bloom in Annie. That's a separate note. Anyway, now that you've planted that seed.
Well, Katy Perry's Annie. Sorry. He's
there, right? He, like, blew up, though, I'm pretty sure, after this movie.
Yes.
Because he was then in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yep.
And
yep,
probably some other stuff I can't remember, but
okay, the only thing I didn't love is, like, his elf eyes see things, and he's, and, like, Viggo Mortensen's like, what do you see? And he's like, the river of water, mountains, stars, and moon. And you're like, what? What does that mean? I felt, yeah, like that was a little weird.
He had a lot of, like, strange reactions because he, like, wouldn't show emotion, but you're like, wait, but, like, we're all emotional. Like, so when Gandalf, spoiler alert, Gandalf dies, but, like, not really, but, like, kind of, everyone is crying, and then he's just, like, making, like, a... He's, like, just making, like, a confused face, and you're like, there are, it's okay to have tears, but all right. Arwen cries a lot. She's an elf, so, like, squeeze out some tears for Gandalf, please, all right? I don't want to say it again.
Yeah, but he was more like, I'm the fighter. I don't go that way, but okay. So then basically what I didn't understand, I know in the beginning when Frodo and Sam are like, we're hobbits and we're just gonna go on this adventure and meet Gandalf at a bar. Then once the fellowship is together and they're like, cool, we are going to go to this specific location. Here we go. And then
go.
No one knew how to get there.
Well, I think they knew to get there, but they didn't know what route to take. Because,
but, like, hello, someone couldn't have, like, planned that out.
Well, no, they had a plan, but the plans had to change because Saruman was a Brodohole and was doing wizard magic, and he made, like, the...
Oh, the mountain.
The mountain, like, mess up. And then they were, like, also, they were, like, those bird spies, which that reminded me of Dark Crystal. I was like, that's, like, those flying crystal bats.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
They had a plan, they had a route, and then they had to, because of those things, like, change it. And then when they're on the mountain, and it's, like, the whole, like, avalanche thing, Gimli is like, yo, let's go to the mines. My cousin lives there. And Gandalf's like, ugh, I don't want to see your stupid cousin. Also, there's a demonic, like, shadow monster down there that only I know about. I'm not gonna tell anyone. So we're just gonna, like, not talk about it. And then he's like, oh, you know what? Frodo, why don't you pick which route should we go? Should we walk all the way around the mountain or should we go through it? And, like, Kinoff. Like, if you don't want him to pick the easy route, you need to, like, set it up better. And then, of course, Frodo's like, let's go through the mines.
Well, and again, you have a little bit of, like, blinders on with Gandalf. Like, he does do some messed up stuff every now and then.
He's That's just another trying case in to, point. Like, be, you know, supportive. So, he can't, like, be in charge of everything. So, leave Gandalf alone!
Okay, when they get to the mines for, what's the dwarf dude's name?
So, it's Gimli, and this is his cousin lives here. However, he doesn't know the password to go see his cousin.
Exactly!
Okay.
And then so. when he gets in, because all of a sudden now Frodo's the genius and figured it out. And then when they get in, Gimli's like, my entire family is dead and massacred, but like, there's some one-eyed Willy skeletons in there. So like, by the way, did you not get word like 200 years ago that your family died? Because what?
Yeah, those have been like some crusty skeletons. I don't know like when the last time you had a family reunion, but like.
So, like, I don't know. I think it's been too long.
We got some Chester copper pots down there. Like, it's been a while, guys. All of this information is in Sean Austin / Mikey's attic, but no one goes up there, so we didn't know.
Do you think Sean Austin's like, oh yeah, I got this scene. So back in 1986 or whatever.
He's like, some flashback. I've done this before.
He's like, if you want to make them real, I've talked to one. I actually had like a love affair with one. It had one eye.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they're all dead. And then they're all like, oh, Frodo, this is terrible. Let's leave. But then there's like a Kraken, like Pirates of the Caribbean style Kraken, foreshadowing for Orlando Bloom. Ooh. And then they're like, JK, let's go back in the death mine. And then they get stuck in there. And they're like, now I gotta
Frodo.
Mine. Oh my God, it's horrible.
That was very scary.
Yeah. So that scene, they like travel through the mine, and then Gimli's like, oh, yo, this is the room with my cousin. And I'm like, Gimli, we've been in here for like 3 days or some bullshit, and you haven't seen anyone. I feel like your cousin's dead.
Well, and like, Gimli, again, you kept ignoring the family reunion. You never called back grandma. Like, stop pretending this is your family and you're close.
And he finds out his cousin's dead, and then Gandalf's like, wait, let me rub salt in the wound and read this sad little diary. That was giving me Girl Interrupted vibes. I was like, this is like dramatic journal entry.
First of all, I'm sorry, but who was the film person that had to do the scribble as like the last line? Because what asshole is writing a journal as they're getting like massacred, and they're like, let me finish this one line because they won't destroy this journal, and this is my legacy.
I think that's why I was like, this is like Girl Interrupted, because like only Susanna Kaysen would pull a move like that where she's like, must keep writing.
Okay. So what was the big, like, big scary thing? Because it wasn't an orc. It was like,
it was a Balrog.
What?
She's literally Pokemon? A shadow demon. It's not a Pokemon, Bridget. No. You cannot put this in a Pokeball. This is big. He is a demon, and this is what Gandalf was like, I don't want to go in those stupid mines, but
here we are.
And that's why then, when they're running away, Gandalf's like, we just gotta get to this bridge. By the way, the bridge was like 1 minute away from where they were, and I was like, guys, we could have made it out like yesterday.
I didn't know why we didn't run fast.
I don't know. And then Gandalf's like, you know what? The only thing that's gonna stop this is magic. And who's the only motherfucker in this fellowship with magic? It's me.
Frodo!
I gotta do it.
Instead of it's Brittany, Frodo! It's like, it's Gandalf.
Frodo!
It's Gandalf.
Frodo!
That's so real. And that's when he's like, I got this. Y'all keep going. I'll see you a little bit. And it works for a little bit. But then, you know, the demon had a whip.
Oof.
Whips are the downfall.
What was the last line he said before he fell?
Fly, you fools.
Why did he say that?
Because he was like, you gotta run. He's like, don't be sad about me. Keep running.
Why couldn't he say Forrest Gump style, run?
Run, boy.
Okay, his acting in that scene is incredible.
So good.
It's really, really good. Ugh. And like, you're really into it. And that is very sad. And all of a sudden, then I write, now we end up in the Blair Witch Woods. And what's happening? And then Kate Blanchett shows up. You're like, what's happening?
Yeah. Well, because they were like, okay, now we're going to go to these other elves. Because it's just elves all around. And that, yep, that was Kate Blanchett. And then Gimli is like, yo, we shouldn't be in these woods. There's like an evil elf witch. And then literally he says that. And then Frodo starts getting like telepathy in his mind, like Independence Day style.
Didn't she also talk to Boromir? And she's like, you're a big Frodo. You're going to ruin everything. And like,
basically.
Meanwhile, making this whole speech and you're like, Kate Blanchett, like I was really confused by her scene where like he wanted to give her the ring. And then she was like, and she turned into this evil thing. And I didn't know what was happening.
Well, because she's like, oh, I passed the test, which means like I didn't go through with it. Like I was able to stop myself. So, and that's why she doesn't take it. She's like, I can't take it. Whatever. So Frodo's just like stuck with it. Yeah.
I was definitely getting some Sarah Connor's Terminator 2 Death and Destruction vibes out of her. She was like, Frodo, you are the only hope because men are evil and all men are evil. And you're like, Kate Blanchett, we get it.
If you do not find a way, no one will. And I'm like, well,
Frodo,
talk about pressure. Woo! Also, you just showed all of his friends and family going through a genocide. So that's horrible. And she's like, this is what'll happen if you fail. Also, no pressure, but you better figure it out because like, look what's going to happen. Won't you feel bad? That's all on you. All of it's on your little back, your 3 foot high back. That's on you.
He's like, all I got going for me is my blue eyes. Like, I don't...
He's like, I could do a mean cry. I'll tell you that.
I could blink. I could keep them open longer. Like, what am I working with here?
He does have that cool armor, though. Let's not forget.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So then they leave Kate and she's like, here's some light. And then they're like, okay.
That's very important in the third movie. So
write
that down for the test later.
Okay. Isn't this the test?
I don't know.
And the whole time Orlando Bloom's like super paranoid. Like he like hit up some hobbit weed and he's like, guys, we're being followed. What's happening? And you're like, Orlando, what?
But also he has this magical elf eyes. So like, why are we listening to him better? Because like, he's right.
But I also was like, so I don't understand your power. Like sometimes you know stuff. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you miss obvious things. Like, I don't understand. So, first of all, those big statues when they were on the boat.
So cool.
Never ending story. Did you get that vibe?
Yeah, except I didn't have to see any boobs this time around. Thank God. Woo. I love it.
But then that leads them into, they get split up. And then it's like an orc scene, right? Or like Frodo. Yeah. Frodo is so annoying because all he does is wander.
He's being a little emo boy.
He really is. He's like, I'm going to go, like literally every 16-year-old ever is like, I'm just going to go over there and like be in my own music video and like this is important. And you're like, come back here to the group that can protect you.
I love how they're all like, where's Frodo? I'm like, guys, isn't this
we're all here
for him?
Like you have one job.
It's one job. It is. So wait a sec. And then Boromir's with him and then he goes in his whole like, oh, you look so burdened. Let me help you. I'm gaslighting you, Frodo, in the woods.
Yes.
/ just give me the Frodo ring. And Frodo's like, no! And then Frodo kicks him in the face. And then Boromir is like, oh my god, I'm so sad. I regret everything. And then it's like, JK, we don't have any time to talk about this because there's like orcs coming.
And that's what splits them, right? Then they all get split up because you're like, this is the worst thing ever. And Frodo's like, listen, Sam, I'm gonna go on this boat alone. I got this. And Frodo, again, why don't you stick with the pack?
Yeah. He basically is like, I have to leave because the more that I'm around other people, the more likely it's going to mess stuff up because of this ring. He's like, so if it's just me with the ring, there is less chance of it like ruining things for other people, basically. So that's kind of like the rationale. So that's why, because he doesn't want to go with Sam. He's like, I'm going to go by myself.
So when Sam like chases after him in the water.
Oh.
And I go, Sam attempts suicide due to his codependent relationship with Frodo.
Yep. Basically. Although, you know, it's funny because I think, like, when I was younger, I always saw Sam as like, oh, he's like so pathetic and annoying. Yeah. Like, whatever. I don't see him that way anymore.
Same.
Now that I'm older, I'm like, no, Sam is like brave.
I felt the exact same way. As a kid, I was like, Sam is pathetic and annoying. And as an adult, he's great. And also, like, he could have totally left so long ago. And instead, I read somewhere, he's like, he's the friend you all wish you could have and you all wish you could be to others. I was like,
That's a good description.
Yeah.
It really is.
And thank God this is a trilogy, because if this was the end of the movie, everybody would have never watched it.
Yeah. Boromir is on a boat and he just flies off a waterfall.
Viking style funeral feast.
Okay, but like, is that?
No, Viking style, I think they
catch on fire.
Take an arrow and catch on fire, but like, it felt that vibe.
Why are we putting him in a boat if he's going to be flung out of the boat as he flies off the waterfall? Like, there is no Max from the Goofy movie who will be saving him. Like, he is flinging out of the boat, and now there is no relevance to having a boat. So like,
okay.
All right, but I do gotta give some props, because again, just like talking about with Sam, there are a lot of lines that, again, I think as a younger kid, I didn't really like care about, or like they didn't register. But now that I'm older, there's so many lines that I'm like, oh my God, that is very profound. And I feel like it kind of speaks to maybe why this type of story has stood the test of time, because like you said, it was written in what, the 50s or something.
Yes.
And a lot of it is just kind of these themes of like hope and optimism. Yes. And so there's a line that Gandalf says, and they repeat it twice because it's pretty good, where when they're in the cave and Frodo's like, I wish the ring never came to me. And Gandalf goes, so do all who live to see such times, but that's not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you. I love that, because he's like basically being like, you know, therapist.
Ugh. So now that I know your love affair for Gandalf, will you please dress up as Gandalf for Halloween?
Oh my God. Wait, that would be a great costume.
It'd be comfy. You'd be great. I just feel like you could be the modern day Gandalf via your therapy skills.
All right. Well, one Halloween, we all dressed up as Tom Hanks characters, and Shannon was Tom Hanks from Castaway, and she wore a beard. I think I could borrow that beard for Gandalf. So this is going to happen. This is all happening. It's all happening.
So I think, like, I don't know, I think I appreciate it more, and I didn't appreciate it as much as a kid, but now I'm really into it, and I really appreciate that they made all three movies together.
Yeah.
Okay, Kate, well, did we give enough time and attention and love to your Lord of the Rings, aka Viggo, aka your boyfriend when you were 10?
I mean, there's always, like, I could talk about this movie forever, as well as the other ones, but I think we did a good job.
I think we did too.
Yeah. So, and honestly, listeners, if you've never seen it,
yes,
go watch it.
Go watch it.
Even Bridget, who literally made fun of Lord of the Rings in our very first episode of the podcast ever, she watched again and she liked it. So there you go.
What did I reference Lord of the Rings for with Almost Famous?
Because we were doing like, oh, welcome to our podcast. We don't know what to do, so we're just saying things. And we were like, let's talk about the movies we like. And I was like, I really like the like nerdy sci-fi, like fantasy. And then I was like Lord of the Rings. And then your reaction was snooze fest.
Okay, but it was 3 hours long and Mose maybe fell asleep in the middle of it.
Okay, but you didn't fall asleep, so there you go. There you go, listeners.
Well, Kate, a year later, and what number episode is this?
Well, this is 47, so it's not quite 47
episodes later.
I know.
You have turned me into a Lord of the Rings fan.
Woo! Everybody,
so just like
get on
the length of this movie, it took you a slow and steady path to get me here.
Yes, exactly. So,
well, Kate, I want to know what's the next movie.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question that will help determine which pick I give you, okay?
Ooh, so is it like going into the mines or over the mountain and Gandalf style, you have like an answer in your head, or is it really I get to pick whatever I want?
No, you can pick whatever you want. Okay. I am not Gandalf right now. So I will give you two genres and I would like you to tell me which genre to pick from.
Okay.
So one genre is crime drama.
Oh.
The other one is comedy romance.
Oh God.
So they're very different.
Comedy romance.
Okay. So we are going a couple years earlier than 2001. We're going to 1998.
Ooh.
All right. This is a rated R comedy romance, so it's pretty funny.
Question. Is this com-rom or is this com-rom?
Okay, so I haven't seen this movie in a very, very, very long time, but from what I can remember, it's more com than rom.
Okay, cool.
It's got a lot of famous people.
Ooh.
A lot.
Okay.
So this is the very funny, a little raunchy com-rom movie. There's Something About Mary.
Ooh, yes.
So that's they have the main people as Cameron Diaz, Ben Stiller, and Matt Dillon. We have done none with those.
No, Cameron Diaz, The Holiday.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But Cameron Diaz, I feel like had early Cameron Diaz, and then she like took a breather, and then she became cool Cameron Diaz. So this was early Cameron Diaz, where she didn't really get to act. She just had to like look pretty. So I kind of understand thinking of her as two people at that.
She kind of acts in this movie though. She's fun. This movie. Yeah.
This is a great movie. I feel like Ben Stiller has a certain type of comedy you have to be into, and I'm excited to watch it as an adult.
But like Matt Dillon, I'm like, what the heck? I can't even remember the last any movie I saw you in, brother. It was probably Wild Things, but I didn't watch Wild Things. I just watched it on Pen 15. So does that count? I don't think it does, but that's what it was.
Wow. Oh, I love it. It's gonna take me back. This is gonna take me back.
Yeah, I have not seen this in so long.
Like, I would have never thought of that movie.
Yeah, well, that's why I needed a genre. So I'll put the other one in my pocket for later.
I am curious of what a crime drama is and might Google it, but it's fine.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of movies like that, but sure.
So, Kate.
Bridge.
I just want to let you know.
Yeah.
If somebody gave you an evil ring that then you had to take and save the rest of the world from basically obliteration, I would totally go with you.
Thank you, Bridge.
I would swim. I would go to the bar with you. We'd smoke some weed. And like, I'd be like, don't trust that. What's Boromir? Boromir?
Boromir.
I'd be like, that Boromir, I don't know about him. But Gandalf seems cool.
And Aragorn. Get his number. Well, and Bridge, I just want to say, if we were camping out and hiding for our lives from 9 evil zombie demons that were hell-bent on murdering us, I would refrain from making bacon. Yeah.
Wow, Kate.
All for you.
Even if you were like really hungry and you like wanted to make a fire.
I would just wait till like second breakfast. Like I wouldn't need to do it.
You
at
just
night.
Have a beignet. You don't need to cook it.
I'd have a beignet or two or four or 500. Yep. Do you also remember we made a promise to each other about Mardi Gras? Do you remember what we said?
I forget how old we are, but we're gonna come back as old ladies and dress in the outfits.
Yeah.
And like show up at Mardi Gras, but like we didn't actually show up in like cool outfits, but we were gonna like come back in outfits. But maybe they should be Lord of the Ring outfits.
I'll dress up as Gandalf. You can dress up as whatever you want. I'll just tell everyone they shall not pass every time we're walking in the street.
Do you know how fun that would be in Mardi Gras with a bunch of drunk people if we just constantly told people you shall not pass?
Oh my God, oh my God. And I could hold all the beads on my staff.
Also, do you remember riding the bull?
I rode a bull?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No way.
We were at some some bar and it was like we were having fun. No, you went on a bull for like 3 seconds. There was barely anybody around. It was like the lamest bull riding experience ever. And you literally got on and like rolled off. And I was like, okay, she's safe. Let's get out of here.
Did I have to pay for that? Oh my god, I'm so embarrassed.
Maybe, but like, oh my god. But like, it was like nobody was even watching us. Like, we just went in the corner, giggled, you got on a bull, you fell off. And then we went back to the front of the bar and stood and watched the parade.
Oh my god, that was so fun. Can we do that?
That was so like, fun. I want to do that.
Sooner than when we're older.
That's just, fine.
Let's do that.
I love that. Kate, this was fun. This is fun. We've made the commitment to the podcast, so I can make a commitment to a 3-hour movie. Am I right?
Yeah. And listeners, if you also love giving up 3 to 9 hours of your life for Lord of the Rings, like us, you should write us a review. We love reviews. We love written reviews. You can pull a J.R.R. Tolkien and write us a review in prose or Elvish. Don't do that.
Elvish. I want to see Elvish. Christ.
Okay. Well, Bridget wants Elvish. I want it to be nice. So like, make it nice.
They'll make it nice in Elvish.
Okay. So we love that. And we really appreciate that. Actually, we did get another review recently on Apple Podcasts. It was not a written review, but I still love you, whoever you are.
I love you.
If you wrote words, I'd know who you are and I love you, but I don't know who you are and I still love you. So thank you for doing so. It means a lot.
I love you.
And we also have a website, so you can check us out on there, sisterswhoseenit.com. You can go on the front page. If you scroll down, there is a form you can fill out to request a movie for us to do. So if you have a very burning passion like I do about Lord of the Rings, but you have it for another movie, write it on there and we will do it.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We will. So you can get on there. You can read more about us. And there's some other links we got too. If you really like us and you think like, oh my god, how did these women watch 3 hours of a movie?
Yeah, how?
Well, it's because of like caffeine. And if you want to help us with our endeavors, you can buy us coffee. Symbolically, we have a Ko-fi website, which is basically you can donate money, and that's so, so appreciated. It really is. We've had a couple of donations already, which is like really nice, everyone. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
We've shouted out those people. So if you want to, again, be shouted out, like get on there. We're ready.
Totally. Totally.
So we love all of that.
Boop, boop.
Listeners, we'll see y'all next week for There's Something About Mary. And spoiler alert, it's not Mary, our sister. Don't be a sicko. Yes,
sicko. You're a sicko.
Don't be a sicko.
It was just her birthday, so happy belated birthday, Mary.
It was happy belated birthday, Mary. Mary's only 20 years old. Homegirl can't even drink. Oh my god, Bridget.
Whoa.
Should we take her to Mardi Gras for her 21st
birthday? We have to go to Mardi Gras for her birthday next year. Wait, this was why we did this episode and second breakfast and then her birthday. Done.
It was so cosmic.
Mary, we're going to Mardi Gras whether you like it or not.
Woo!
Bring your Gandalf staff.
I'll dress up as Gandalf. Don't worry.
I love you.
I love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in to Sisters Who Seen It. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our website at sisterswhoseenit.com, where you can email us, request movies to be reviewed, and keep up to date with all things sisters. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next week!